If you're up against overwhelming circumstances and impossible situations, then you're just in the right place to express faith and to see God do something great. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study with Paul Chappell, Journeys of Faith. Life is absolutely and undeniably a journey of faith. Every single human being on the planet lives by faith. It's the object of the faith that differs. Every day you express faith, you place your faith in people and circumstances and things all around you. Life is designed by God to be a journey of faith. And when you come up against difficult situations, God wants you to turn to Him, to obey Him, to submit and yield to what He's doing in your life. And it's in that journey that you discover you can trust Him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today we study Journeys of Faith, and you're going to be equipped and challenged in your walk with God. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org for a host of resources that will help you and encourage you in your spiritual growth. But let's begin our series now in John chapter 17, Journey to the Cross.
And we learn from Matthew that Judas literally went up to Jesus and kissed Him on the cheek as a sign of his betrayal, so that the Roman guard would know who to grab and who to take. Oh, the pain of being betrayed by one of your own church members and by one of those that said he believed in what you said. This is what Jesus, as He pastored, if you will, as He led that first called out assembly, He was now experiencing the betrayal of a Judas. But notice, secondly, He would be denied by Peter. He would be denied by Peter. Now, let me tell you something. It's one thing for an unsaved man to betray you. But Peter was not unsaved. Peter was a backslidden Christian. Peter was a man who had his heart turned away for a while, but he was truly a believer in Jesus Christ. He was the one who, just a few hours prior in the upper room, had said, "Why, if the whole world turned on you, Jesus, I'll stand with you. I'll be there. You can count on me." Jesus said, "Peter, before the cock crows thrice, you will deny me. You'll deny me three times." Well, the Bible tells us in verse 17 what Peter does. John 18, 17, "Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art thou not also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants of the officer stood there, who made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves. And Peter," notice this, "stood with them and warmed himself." My friend, if you stay with the wrong crowd, you too could deny Jesus Christ. Peter was hanging out with the wrong crowd. Teenagers, you hang out with teenagers who love Jesus. You hang out with the right crowd. Moms and dads, be sure your fellowship time is with people who strengthen you in regard to the Lord Jesus. But Peter was hanging around with the wrong crowd, and he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that our Lord is now taking every step now, is one step closer to the cross of Calvary. It was the time when he needed support and encouragement the most, and yet he had to deal with the personal pain of a Judas and a Peter. But it was not only the personal betrayal, it was secondly the physical beatings that Jesus would experience. The physical beatings. You see, the Bible tells us of these beatings in chapter 19 and verse 1. It says here, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe." Now we know the story. In chapter 18, Pilate had come to the people and he said, "You have a custom, you Jewish people." For Pilate was simply Caesar's recognized head in Judea. And so as Caesar's recognized head in this Roman province, he stands and he tells the people of Judea, the Jewish people, you have a custom. It is your custom that during this time of year, I could release unto you a particular prisoner. Pontius Pilate thought in his common way of thinking, surely they would release Jesus Christ, for all he was in their minds was a religious teacher. But you know what they said? They said, give us Barabbas! Give us Barabbas! And they demanded the life of a common criminal to be released and the life of Jesus Christ to be taken on a Roman cross. The angry mob had taken Jesus now to Pilate's hall. And here Pilate listened to the testimony of Jesus. And several times as he listened to it, he made this comment, I find no fault in him. I find no fault at all. I find no fault in him. Pilate said in John 18, 38, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault in him. And so Pilate is now desperate. He does not know what to do. And I believe that he reasoned within himself, perhaps if he would have Jesus scourged, perhaps if Jesus would be beaten, this would appease the crowd. It was illegal to beat a citizen of Judea in this fashion. But Pilate was willing to do it in order to appease the crowd. And so the Bible says in verse number 1, they took Jesus and they scourged him. I want you to understand this morning that as Jesus Christ was placed perhaps over some form of lumber, as Jesus Christ had his hands tied up above his head, that the Roman soldiers now, looking there on the Son of God, the Creator of the world, took that cat of nine tails, took that whip with no doubt metal and glass intermingled into the leather, and 39 times they brought it across the back of Jesus Christ, and 39 times they brought it back again. No doubt the flesh of Jesus was ripped and torn. No doubt the bones and ligaments of Jesus were exposed. No doubt the blood of Jesus Christ was now beginning to fall down to the earth. I want you to understand it was a painful journey. This journey to the cross that Jesus experienced. Oh, it was planned, yes, but it was a painful journey to the cross. But I want you to see with me finally this morning, it was a powerful journey. I want you to see the power of God along this journey. I want you to know that God was working every step of the way. The Bible says in chapter 19 and verse number 17 these words, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. Then the two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Now we begin to see in a very real way the power of God. We begin to see in this story, first of all, the power of love. We see here Jesus in verse 17 bearing his cross. He bore his cross in love. He begins to climb up the hill of the skull. He went as far as he could until an African man by the name of Simon of Cyrene saw Jesus fall beneath the load. He was no longer able to carry the cross. And Simon of Cyrene came up and took the cross of our Lord Jesus. And he began to help the Lord up the hill of the skull. I wonder today, are we willing to carry that cross? Are we willing to identify with the cross of Jesus Christ as men of God in this day? You see, the Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. I want you to understand, Jesus was not going up that hill because Pilate told him to. Jesus was not going up that hill because the Roman soldiers were threatening him. Jesus Christ was going up that hill because he loved you. Because he wanted to redeem the world from the sin that had come going all the way back to Adam and to Eve. The Bible says it so in Ephesians 5 and verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Did you capture the phrase? He gave himself for us. His life was not taken, his life was given. And when Jesus laid himself down on that cross, he did this voluntarily, and he did that vicariously. That is to say, on your behalf and on mine. Oh, the power of love took Jesus up the cross to the cross of Calvary. But I see a second power here. I see the power of humility. Oh, humility is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. It is strength under control. And I see this in verse 18. It says where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. Oh, the humility of this picture, that my King and my Lord would be there hanging in the midst of two common criminals. Oh, it was foretold as well. For in Isaiah 53 and verse 12, the Bible says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Oh, I see the power of humility as I see Jesus between two common thieves. And then I see the power of humility as I see Jesus Christ now offering forgiveness to the entire world. You see, there are seven different sayings that Jesus made while on that cross. Seven times he spoke out. One time he said, I thirst. One time he said to John, behold thy mother, as he drew his attention to Mary. One time he said, thankfully it is finished. But when we study those synoptic gospels, we learn that the very first thing Jesus said from the cross was simply this, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, what humility. You see, if that had been you, or if that had been me, we may have looked down from the cross with a heart filled with anger. We may have said, I don't deserve this. We may have cursed at those below us. We may have spat upon them. We may have cursed them and wished the worst for them, but not Jesus Christ. For as the perfect Son of God, in lifting up his humble prayer, his prayer was not that they be damned. His prayer was that they would be forgiven. Oh, the humility. There's the power of love. There's the power of humility. Thirdly, there's the power of redemption. The power of redemption. Now notice in verse 18 where they crucified him. Why was it that Jesus died by way of crucifixion? Why was it that he died such a bloody, brutal death? Well, I say to you, for among many reasons, perhaps the greatest of all is found in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, where the Bible says that without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. And that as the nails were placed through his hands, his feet, as the spear went through his side, as the crown of thorns was forced down upon his head, the blood of Jesus Christ was spilt, and now your redemption and mine was purchased by that blood. For when the Holy Ghost came upon Mary, and when Mary conceived, that which was in her was not of the Adamic sin line of Adam. It was not another man that came in unto Mary. It was the Holy Ghost. Therefore, the blood that flowed through the veins of the Lord Jesus was the royal holy blood of heaven. And when Jesus lived that perfectly sinless life and then hung on that cross and shed his blood, he shed the royal blood of God for the sins of the entire world. You understand today, my blood could not atone for the sin of even one man, for I am but a sinner myself. But when the blood of Jesus was shed, it made atonement for the sins of all who would believe. He died to make atonement and redemption for the sins of men. Some people don't like this preaching. They don't like this narrow preaching that says Jesus is the way, the only way of salvation. Some do not like an emphasis on the pain and the physical marring of the cross. One preacher in Philadelphia more than 100 years ago was preaching about the cross. And he was challenging Christians to deny themselves and take up the cross and identify with Jesus. A man came up to Pastor Stearns, was his name. After the message, he said, I don't like the way you speak about the cross. I think you overemphasize the death of Christ, the brutality of it. He said, I believe you need to emphasize the good teachings of Jesus and the fact that he's an example for us to follow. The pastor said, well, if I presented Christ in that way, would you be more willing to follow him? The man said, yes, I would. All right, then, the pastor said, let's take the first step. Jesus never sinned. Are you saying that you can follow Jesus by never sinning? Are you claiming that you can follow his example in this way? The man said, well, no. He said, I cannot say that. He said, I do acknowledge that I do sin. Then the pastor said, sir, your greatest need is not a great example. Your greatest need is a Savior. Thank God for His example. Thank God for His teachings. But above all else, thank God that He went to the cross and shed His blood there for you and for me. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Are you saved this morning? I mean, are you saved from hell? Do you know you're on your way to heaven? Are you saved from the penalty of sin? And if you are saved, then my friend, the only way that you are saved is by the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. And so He died to pay the price for our redemption. Oh, payment was made. And may I say, secondly, atonement was accomplished. Our atonement was accomplished that day. Notice, if you would, in verse number 30. The Bible says, when therefore Jesus received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." Would you say that with me this morning? It is finished. One more time. It is finished. Now, religion says, do, do, do. Religion says, do this, do that. Do these seven things and you can go to heaven. Religion says, do, but Jesus says, done. It is finished. The price that needed to be paid has already been paid, and all that we must do is look to Jesus Christ as a sinful man or woman and say, I believe, Lord Jesus, that You as the Son of God died for my sin, and I receive You as my Savior. He doesn't look back and say, do these seven things. He says, then you will enter into my presence. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the crucifixion took place either on Thursday or Friday, depending on how you study the Jewish calendar. Taking portions of the days, it would be Friday. Taking three complete literal nights, it would be Thursday. Jesus said in Matthew 12:40, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. However you calculate it, you can know this. 3 days later, up from the grave, He arose. Oh, how we thank God. It may have seemed like Judas had won. It may have seemed like Pilate's politically correct approach was the right approach. My friend, Judas had not won. Pilate's approach was not the right approach. You can try to skirt the issue, but one day, every one of us will stand before a holy God. Oh, we look at these events and our hearts grow heavy. We look at these events and these steps leading to the cross, and though it was planned, we see the pain. And though it was planned, we understand the physical hurt and pain that Jesus felt. But along the way, we see the power of God. Oh, what a terrible Friday it was. What a difficult day it was. And yet, the victory was still to come. You see, it's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is sleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday is coming. You see, it's Friday. Pilate is struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running around like sheep without a shepherd. Mary is crying. Oh, and Peter is denying. They don't seem to know that Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat the Lord Jesus. And they robe Him in scarlet. And they crown Him with thorns. They don't seem to realize that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. We see Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood is dripping. His body is stumbling. And His spirit is burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The world is winning. People are sinning. And evil is grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers have nailed my Savior's hands to the cross. They've nailed my Savior's feet to the cross. And they raise him up next to two common criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning. What has happened to their king? The Pharisees are celebrating. Their scheming has been achieved, but they don't understand that Sunday is coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross. The Father has turned his head away. He's left alone and he's crying. Can anybody save him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday is coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. Our King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope seems lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan, he's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. A rock is rolled into its place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. Sunday is a coming. My friend, I tell you that there are times in our life when we stop and ponder what happened on that Friday, and then we realize that 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. And while we thank God for Friday, and we thank God that he was willing to go to that cross and willing to shed his blood, we must remember that he bled and died for our atonement, and he rose up again 3 days later for our justification. And while we thank God for the cross, and while we look forward to seeing Jesus and perhaps the scars in his hands and his feet, I want you to know he did rise up from the grave, and that's why we do not compare him to Allah or the earth goddess Gaia or any of the other false gods of this day. We serve a risen Savior this morning. And we must recognize today that this journey was a planned journey. Yes, it was a painful journey, but it was the most powerful journey the world will ever know. That's why we say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Have you received the atonement of your sins? I do not mean, have you been baptized? Have you done this? Have you done this? I mean, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you died today, do you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? Because, my friend, that's why he came. Let us pray. Father, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Friday, and thank you for Sunday, and thank you for loving us. Father, please take this message and help us to fall in love with Jesus all over again. And for those who do not know Jesus, help them to receive Jesus as their Savior.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, studying currently a series entitled Journeys for the Faith. And friend, your faith journey begins when you come to Jesus Christ in faith. When you come to Him alone as your Savior and receive Him into your heart and life. And friend, if you've never made that decision, we hope you'll make that decision today to let go of religion, to let go of your own goodness, and to trust Christ alone. Invite Him into your heart and life, confess that you need a Savior, and place 100% of your faith in Him for salvation. He will answer that prayer. He will save you, and He will come into your life and begin to change you from the inside out. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chappell and the ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chapel invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.